Live from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Broadcasting live from the sunny, allergy-driven city of Eugene, located in the Willamette Valley, it's me, Robin, him, Cliff.
Poor you and Candy, allergy-ridden, God, she really gets up. Well, she really gets affected by that. She has to take pills and everything. I don't find that much of a problem. Thank God.
Yeah, because most people, as we tease here, people that move into the beautiful Oregon, state of Oregon, they go, it's so great, so green. Why is that? Well, first of all, we have tons of rain. And secondly, if you don't have hay fever, I'll give you about 2 years. Most people will get it.
What's that?
Oh, I have something to decide. I want to play a little tune in the background.
Well, I was wondering about that.
Yes. I hate those things that, in fact, when I took my web class, one thing they say is do not ever put auto start audio, especially if there's a way not to mute it. So I got some pages open in the background, and one of them decided to play a little tune. And at least what's nice now about some of these browsers, they'll put a little picture of a speaker up in the tab, so at least you can tell which one of the 35 tabs you have open is causing it.
Really, it is kind of a pain. I tell you, I make sure. See, I don't have anything up and running, not like that anyway, but I'm on the computer that I'm on the air with.
Right.
I have a computer over beside me that I put up stuff like that, but there's nothing up and running, unless I'm looking for something, and then something can come up.
And as Cliff teases me a lot, is Cliff, ask me how many monitors I have in front of me right now.
Okay, how many today?
Five.
Oh, God. I swear. I feel burdened with two. But see, mine are great big ones, so.
Not really. They aren't. 19 inches.
Well, because, you know, over here, Cliff's in the remote studio. I'm in the main studio here, so that's part of the reason for all these monitors. And speaking of the studios, one of the reasons why they do this, Cliff, how would people get a hold of us?
They could call us.
Hey, good idea. How would they do that?
646-721-9887. Now, that's the easy number to remember. You write that down. And if you've got a big, fat, felt-tip pen and a large piece of paper, write it down in big print, 646-721-9887. And then you can put it up on the wall, on your refrigerator. Anywhere you can see it, you could tell people what it is.
Excellent.
And you know, I've been getting a thing with television. I've been working with the television things, and they tell me that if I sign somebody else up, they save me money. So if you sign somebody else up to our site and tell them the number and they call it, we're not going to do a thing. Because we can't afford to.
Yeah. And one other thing you might want to add to that phone number, by the way, is Saturdays, 4 p.m. Pacific time, because that's when we're broadcasting live between 4 and 5:30 p.m. And, again, if you happen to miss the program, number one, shame on you. Secondly, we are all of our programs, thanks to Blog Talk Radio, are archived, so you can listen to the archives, and we're also available on the iTunes as well. You can send us emails, by the way. We're always glad to get them, especially news tips in particular, which we do have a couple of people that do send us news tips every week and do appreciate that. And that email address is talk@krbnradio.com. And you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all over the place. So we're not social media magnets, but we do our best.
Now, if you want to just go to krbnradio.com, it tells you the day and time and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
And a lot of other things down the side. There's interesting things that you can look at over there. So if you want to do that, for example, the elections people, you know, we're coming up on that again. And the places to vote, register to vote for Oregon and worldwide for that matter. You can look at all. It's just an interesting site to go to, and there's some stuff you might want, you might need. You never know.
I also would like to encourage people as well, if you're a little too shy, to come on the air. And you can. Our chat room is open right now. You can view what's going on as a guest. However, you cannot at this point comment unless you have a Blog Talk Radio account, which is free, by the way, and there's no obligation to do anything.
That's the nice thing about Blog Talk Radio. They do make this part of it free, so that right. you don't have to pay big bucks to be a part of our show.
Exactly. And also, by the way, that phone number, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to listen to the program live, you can do that. We don't know really until the stats are tallied up what the numbers are, but you can do that anonymously, and if you decide that you'd like to participate in the program, just push 1 on your keyboard, then it'll come up on my board, and I'll just go, welcome to the program, area code so-and-so, and you're live on the air, broadcasting to millions of people worldwide, so no pressure.
It's really, really simple, really easy to do any way you look at it.
I mean, if I can do it, and I'm not a professional unlike Cliff.
Well, I don't know that I'm a professional at this, but whatever. I'm some sort of a professional.
You are a broadcast professional with a history of broadcast in your background.
That's what we are broadcasting. Okay.
Yes, we are broadcasting somewhat live over the World Wide Web.
And I've got a hell of a history of broadcasting. I've been there for 50 years.
Exactly.
Okay. It's hard to believe I've been anywhere for 50 years, but here I am. And you know, I was just looking. We were just looking. I was looking at a picture of Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
That girl has gotten old all of a sudden. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, normally when you see pictures of her, they're fairly small, and they're older pictures of her. But this was a current picture of Hillary Clinton. And, man, she looks older than my grandmother.
Well, she has been through a lot, and then again, look who she was married to.
I don't believe him. He's a nice guy. And I don't think, you know, we could discuss whether she was really married to him or not, because, you know, I'll bet you they sleep in separate bedrooms and probably separate houses most of the time. And I don't think she was very much married to him. It was a marriage of convenience because it was not convenient for her to divorce him when he was messing around. And now it's not convenient for her to divorce him when she's, I don't know, I don't want to say messing around, but in her career it's not a good time. So,
right.
And believe me, I think if you're considering voting to elect her to anything, don't.
Right. As they say, who do you want to answer the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, as her 2008 campaign thing was? And at this point, anybody.
Well, as long as it's not video.
Referencing the Benghazi affair where apparently nobody was home.
You know, that's interesting. We had a guy, speaking of the Benghazi affair, and I don't know if it had anything to do with Benghazi or not, but in... we had a guy released from prison today. Yeah, and he's just one person. We gave up five people from whatever you call that prison that we're not supposed to have anymore. Anyway, we gave them five, and we got one.
Yeah,
and, which is not really good negotiating as far as I'm concerned, except that they only had one, and we had five, and we're trying to get this prison cleaned out, and then one way of doing it, I guess, is give the prisoners back to them. But of course, I don't know that that's really a good idea. We arrested them and made them prisoner for something they were doing, and if we give it back to them, then they'll probably turn loose and let them do it again. Of course, they, I don't know how long they'd been there. We've had people there for years and years. So anyway, we had a guy back And that's it's been in the news, on the news all day long. That's all that's, that anybody talks about is his release from prison.
Oh.
So I thought I'd talk about it, just mention it. It's,
I'm glad you did.
I mean, it's really, the guy has been through a lot. I mean, he's been in prison for 5 years.
Okay. Well, what's the name of this guy you're talking about?
I don't know. I haven't.
You're talking about this guy that got released from prison, and nobody's talking about it. And I ask you who he is, and you don't know.
Well, everybody's talking about him. Everybody probably knows who I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know how to get it up. I mean, it's bring it up, and I'm not on the page or something, and it doesn't work.
Okay. So headline news, person released from prison.
Yeah. Right, he said there's only one, and he was released today. I mean, it's got to be the right one. How do I put let's see. Let me put it in. Person released.
Just looking this up.
I'm not a fast typer either, so.
But while he's doing that, I wanted to make another comment, by the way, getting back to Hillary, if we can. The page that Cliff was referring to, which is on the Boston Globe, by the way, as Hillary is
picture.
Talking about her new book. This is what's really interesting. I just wanted to read the first paragraph in here. In a way, it's kind of funny in my twisted sense of humor. Washington, Hillary Rodham Clinton in a purple suit sitting in a living room, pink flowers just visible in the background, speaking with passion to the camera about her views of the world and what can be done to fight the cancer of inequity, inequality, excuse me, in the United States. And later on in it, they're talking about sexism and all that type of stuff, which is the reason why I think they want her in the White House, because they enjoyed the, you're racist if you don't agree with the president, well, you can be sexist. And so I think it's kind of interesting when they're talking about the cancer of inequality, and they start out with, you know, we don't hear that President Obama in a business suit with a blue tie and sitting in the room with pink flowers in the bed. You never hear that with the guys, for one thing.
That's true.
President Obama looking really lavish today.
Well, you know, and the thing is, they had to do that because if you saw the picture, it's a good thing they really describe the background, because that's what you want to look at, not her.
Yes.
She's really, I can't believe how old she's getting. She's really old.
Well, I just hope that she sticks to her, that she really sticks to just her book deal, and that's it. Because, and again, the same article I'm quoting, some Democrats even worry that if she does not run, after all this buildup, the party may be caught without a viable candidate.
I hate to be nasty and mean all the time, but you know, we vote for her, we're still caught without a viable candidate.
Yeah. No, there's a reason why. In fact, I think it was Mark Levin put it best, is that we're recycling these candidates that ran and lost. There's a reason why they lost. You know, unfortunately, in 2008, we didn't really have that much of a choice, and it was pretty much a game show. And actually, 2008 and 2012 especially, it was a joke, the election, the presidential election.
Yeah.
It was, especially on the Republican side. I mean, Obama didn't have to do much of anything because Republicans were making just asses of themselves.
Well, you know, we're coming up on another election here just in a matter of months. And we're liable to find out this is another joke.
Yes.
And so now the one after that, which is what, 2 years later?
Right.
That's going to mean something. But and I don't think we're even going to know who's running until after this election. And then they'll perhaps let people know that they're stepping into the fray to be beat down on. But I don't know. It'll be interesting because it's supposedly the Republicans turn this time. I mean, we've had, well, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see who's ready to take it. Rand Paul is running. I know that. At least he's, now Rand Paul and those. There's two or three guys that are in there that have let us know already that they're running. So I get emails from my old buddy Rand Paul and then all the time.
Well, and the they are building Clinton up. In fact, there's a Politico has an article about where apparently Obama and Hillary Clinton, in fact, it even says in the same Boston Globe article that Clinton was at the White House on Thursday for lunch with Obama, a meeting that was not on the president's public schedule and was discovered only after People Magazine, good source, following an interview with Clinton, tweeted a photo of her to get ready for the visit. But Barack Obama, depending on how you want to do it, said him and Hillary Clinton are, quote, buddies, now listen to the keywords here, and that she would be, quote, very effective should she run for the White House again. And
now this was an A? This is effective with an A?
Effective. Oh. Not affective, effective. And he's quoted saying, you know, Hillary and I, we're buddies, as he said in an ABC interview. I think because we ran in the longest primary in history, you know, our staffs were doing battle politically, the perception was that this was kind of a marriage of convenience when she came in as Secretary of State. I always admired her. As soon as she got here, we couldn't have been more effective, more loyal. And since that time, we've become really, really good friends.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but whose fault is that? It's certainly not his.
Fault of what?
The fact that they were good friends, that they were very effective together. It was her cooperating with him. It was her doing anything she could do to be the good guy, I believe, because she was the one who dealt out the information and I don't believe he has a clue. I still don't.
Well, like I say, it's all a game. From 2008, I called him a used car salesman, and I still have not changed my opinion on that.
Yeah, I think there's more and more people that go along with that now.
Yes. Comes right out and just says, you know, whatever's going along with the tide. And then, of course, if he doesn't like it, he'll put together an executive order. And how often has he said that if Congress won't do it, I will.
Right. And he does it all the time.
He does it all the time. And you know, he does not like the Constitution. He has publicly said that. You know, he doesn't like the way it restricts him. Well, the purpose of it is to keep government in check, because if it wasn't for that, we'd really be screwed.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, it's true. It's amazing but true, and It's a good thing we have the Constitution on our side for us. I know a lot of people who probably think the way the president does, that it restricts their ability to do things, but thank God.
Yeah. But the also kind of leading into the fact that, and this is from the Washington Post, Marco Rubio questions the administration's $8.7 million Obamacare ad buy. So, because people are starting to question Obamacare, the government's putting out all these ads to try and convince people to go along with it. I mean, even Obama is still trying to sell the damn thing. And because, you know, it's part of that used car salesman thing. They don't want people to wake up. They want the sheeple to kind of go along with whatever they're doing, because, again.
Did you say that on purpose, or did you just make a mistake?
What? Sheeple?
You said it's a sheeple.
No, that, I said that on purpose.
Okay.
Basically, it's people that drink the Kool-Aid.
Okay. People who follow the leader.
Exactly, blindly. And they want you to stay focused on your American idols and what. They do not want you to get involved in this. But, you know, the more that they push and the more they try to sell it, the more you have to ask the questions, what really is going on, as people are starting to find out. And as they're starting to wake up, this is why Obama has changed with the executive order, the law on Obamacare, to delay a few of the things that are supposed to come into effect, or to add people that have exceptions, or companies and businesses that have exceptions to the law.
I don't have anything.
Yeah, nothing to say.
No, I was not listening closely, and I was trying to do two things at once. And as you know, I am not good at that. And
okay. Apparently, other people aren't either. That's why right now they should call 646-721-9887. And again, if we're talking about something that you want to talk about, something different, give us a call. We're open to just about any subject.
If you want to do it on the internet, I mean, you can go online and go to KRBNradio.com, and then you can click almost anywhere you can hear us. And it's got a radio there that you can click on. So
that's true. We'll talk about just about anything.
Well, the reason I mention that is because maybe there are people who would like to hear us, but it's a long distance call. And on the internet, it's not.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty neat that way.
It is pretty neat. Which reminds me, you can also contact us on Skype.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that.
And, by the way, I have something, speaking of government, I have something on my hit list of government bureaucracy. Now, I was going to touch on this on last week's program, but we got busy and ran out of time. The TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, which if anybody that's gone through the airports have had, how can I put it, personal contact with. Some people have made new friends.
Yeah, well.
Actually, there's actually been reports of people that actually like to go fly because of they actually are getting stimulated by the... I kid you not.
I suppose that's true.
I've read articles where, you know, I love it when they put on those gloves and they grope me. But anyways, I got a letter from TSA not too long ago. And the reason why this kind of gets my gourd is that I hold a commercial driver's license, and on my commercial I have hazmat, which means that to get a hazmat or hazardous materials endorsement, you have to go through a TSA background and get fingerprinted and all that type of stuff. Well, the letter that I got, the first headline on the letter said, "Your license will be suspended." Well, that got my attention, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. What it is here in Oregon is that unless I surrendered my hazmat about 20 days, or got updated on my fingerprints and TSA background, because they have not received the renewal, that my driving privileges will be suspended. And if you are driving a commercial vehicle and you are driving with suspended license, it's not a ticket. They will handcuff you in most cases. So anyways,
I just didn't want to get to know you.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. The TSA takes, and they'll tell you, it takes 29 days on average to do a background check. All right. So from the day of the letter, you know, fortunately, I'm not an over-the-road driver. I may not even have gotten this for weeks. From the date of the letter, remember, TSA says they'll take 29 days. Oregon is saying they were giving you 20 days. So there's an overlap right there. I asked Oregon DMV, and I also asked the TSA when I talked to them, do you guys give out reminders, you know, like, hey, look, this is coming up. You should take care of this within 60 days or something like that. Their response was no. So, and they said that
you're not allowed to forget yourself.
You're not allowed to forget yourself. And so they're saying in some states, these letters go out and give you 3 days to get this taken care of. Yes. Which is kind of ridiculous because it's here's the thing that makes it even more ridiculous. In Oregon here, you just can't go down to the motor vehicles and get your fingerprints done. You can't go down to the local law enforcement and get your fingerprints done. You know, which
And if you go anywhere, it doesn't anywhere else, it doesn't count.
Right, they won't do it. So there's only certain places that you can go that are qualified to take your fingerprints and information for your background check for the TSA for your commercial hazmat endorsement. Now, here's what's even more funny. In Portland, which is the largest city here in Oregon, there's a 30-day waiting list even to get in. Now, remember, Oregon gives you 20 days. You know, so to go do this, there's 30 days. The other place nearby, now, because in Eugene here is kind of the center between these two, is Roseburg. Eugene's kind of in between. Roseburg's like 60 miles away from Eugene, and Portland's like 102 miles.
I don't understand why Roseburg would be anything, because they're a smaller city than Eugene.
Oh, it gets better.
Oh.
It gets better. Okay. Roseburg will only do it, is only open on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 9 a.m. and noon. And to do this, you, I kid you not, they are doing this in a funeral home.
Huh?
They have a little office set up in a funeral home because it's a private contract. And I was talking to the gal up there, and she told me all the everything they had to go through, and they said, they're not really making much money. Now, here's the thing. When I about 4 years ago when I got my initial hazmat endorsement, I had to go to Roseburg, and it was – this time it was in the back of a computer repair shop. And the funny story behind that is that well, they had me behind the counter and they're taking my fingerprints, and the customer comes in and he's looking around at the computer they have for sale, and he's looking over, looking at me getting fingerprinted, and he's kind of has this puzzled look on his face. And I looked up and I said, all I wanted to do was cash a $10 check. Which, of course, I got a dirty look from the owner.
Yeah.
But it's kind of ridiculous, because now if it wasn't for these private companies doing this, how would you get your federally mandated background check for the endorsement on your driver's license?
You got me. And it sounds like they're trying to keep the number of people who actually get the background check down, by making it as difficult as possible. Maybe they don't want to do this.
I don't know. I mean, I can understand in some respects making it a little harder, but there's a point that, again, this is a federal requirement that affects a state driver's license, state-issued driver's license. You would think that you'd just be able to go down to your local sheriff's department, and because, you know, most law enforcement places are set up to, I don't know, like, take fingerprints, and be able to send that off to, you know, the appropriate authorities from that point, or at least, you know, give you the rubber stamp and, or, you know, the certification, you know, and they can take care of it there. Or is that too simplistic?
Well, obviously it is, because they're not doing it, but that would make sense to me. But then, let's face it, you're not talking about an outfit that makes sense. They're not making common sense. They're trying to make this as hard as possible for you to do.
That's right. And by the way, in fact, I was talking with the TSA yesterday, and they did determine that I am not a threat. So,
oh, they have, huh?
Yes, they have.
Boy, do they know.
As we're here broadcasting to the world about them, and I'm sure that their little computers are going, ooh, somebody mentioned TSA. We need to maybe start looking at that a little bit closer.
Well, you haven't written it down, have you?
No.
Good. I haven't either, so maybe we're safe.
Yes.
I don't know. It's just, this is not the only thing, but this is the current thing that it seems like they want to make this as hard as they can to do whatever it is. There are several things that they do at times that they do that way. It's like they don't want to have that license issued to anyone. And, of course, they're trying to make it hard as possible. Yet we got all these truck drivers on the road that don't look to me like they have a driver's license at all. Maybe that's a possibility. Maybe they don't.
Well, yeah. It's amazing when you, because you can go onto the FMCSA's website and look up a company and get their traffic record and stuff. And there are some that are driving with suspended, and not that many, but, you know, a few citations that they are. But what is kind of interesting, though, is that I can't remember what year it was, but they made the commercial driver's license national driver's license. So,
That's actually almost logical.
Well, yeah, it is, because, you know, from state to state to state, so they want to make it more similar. Some states do have a little bit different qualification to get it, but for the most part, it's federally mandated. Now, one of the things that they're changing is that, the last year is that to drive a commercial vehicle, you have to have a valid medical card, and they are changing how you can get that, which is causing a backlog because they're requiring doctors to be listed on the quote-unquote exchange and certified, which is lessening the available doctors that have decided to go do that because it's expensive. And instead of having a separate card, they're combining it into your driver's license itself. So you have to go present this to DMV and pray that the DMV updated it.
Now, is this the same driver's license you use to drive just on the highway with your car, or is it a separate license that you have to have with your two?
As far as physical? Physically?
No, the physical license. Is it all one license?
It's one license. It just says in the endorsements what you have. In my case, I have a Class A license versus a Class C, which is just car only. I can drive anything up to 102,000 pounds. But
that's really restricting.
Yeah, it is.
Small rigs.
Small. But anyways, so what happened to a friend of mine, he went ahead and got his medical card updated, and about a month or two later goes through a weigh station, and they run his driver's license, and they go, your medical information is not on here. Well, fortunately, he kept a copy from his doctor when he got the exam. And so what they allowed him to do, instead of citing him for driving without a valid medical, is they just said, okay, you just park the vehicle here. You have somebody else come and get the vehicle, and you go to DMV and get it taken care of, which it was easy to do. But the point was...
That puts him out a significant amount. I mean, somebody from his company has got to come and pick up that truck or whatever.
Exactly.
That's something that he shouldn't have to be. Of course, as long as he has, I guess if he didn't have any information on there at all, that would be true. I wouldn't want him driving. So.
Well, even the FMCSA, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, that regulates all this fun stuff, is saying that the system's not perfect. Keep your long form with you as proof. In fact, they're kind of requiring it now, which is kind of funny because, again, just like with the Obamacare and everything where we're relying on a database, they've already screwed it up and people are getting, you know, citations. I mean, fortunately, in my friend's case, he had a Waymaster that had some sense about him and knew that, you know, instead of one of those guys, you don't have this, even though it's not your fault, and you went through all the processes and it's the errors on the DMV side, we're going to give you a ticket anyways.
Wow.
So fortunately, you know, he had somebody that was very lenient. In fact, even about 2 years ago when I was driving, I got pulled over by sheriff. We spent an hour literally on the side of the road. She pulled me over because the trailer I had was missing a reflector, which I looked up later on that the type of trailer I was pulling didn't require it, but that was her probable cause. And she went through the permit book. These permit books are three-ring binders with about literally 30 pages of permits, and you'd be amazed on what you have to have a permit for. And one of them is the Oregon road fuel tax, which I couldn't find. And so, I mean...
Do you have any permit to use the fuel?
It's a separate tax that truckers have to pay. That's that IFTA sticker that you see on the...
That's right.
...on the side of the trucks. And her and I went through that book two or three times trying to find it, and she could have cited me right there. It would have been a $250 ticket to me. But instead, she allowed me to call the company I drove for, and she says, just give me a number, and then when you find it, here's my email. You know, just you know, give me the rest of the information, and she cut me loose. But and she didn't have to do that. Well, I found it later on and buried deep inside the pocket of the book that was hiding. But the whole point was is that, you know, everything that, you know, you have to go through as commercial drivers is just ridiculous.
Oh, no, it's not ridiculous. It's a way for the state to make money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like, my God, it sounds like all you have to do is breathe wrong. You're paying $250 fine.
Well, I'll tell you that, okay, when you mention an IRS audit, that alone puts fear in people's mind. Even illegals are afraid of an IRS audit. That is nothing compared to a DOT audit.
Wow, wow.
That's how bad it is. In fact, the regulations, I've seen some of the regulations books, and it is just, oh, my God, the volumes and volumes and volumes of stuff that is there. I mean, it is just two or three books about 2 inches thick.
Thank God I'm not working for them.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have at least an overview of that book, of those books, in order to do your job, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, you have to. And even as a driver, you're supposed to know a lot of that, and it's impossible. Even a lot of companies, you know, they have hire separate people just to interpret the regulations. But again, it's all government. And here's the thing: again, getting back to the TSA and the type of driver's license, it's federal, but each state has their own regulations. Like, I'll give you an example: one state, I can't remember off the top of my head, passed a law this year that if it snows, you have to get up and wipe the snow off the top of your trailer.
Whoa.
Number one, how do you get on top of your trailer? Number two, those trailers are not designed to be walked on.
Really?
And number three, it's slippery as hell up there.
Hmm.
But if you are going down the road and you did not wipe off the top of your trailer, you will get a ticket.
How? Of course, the question is, how do they know you've wiped off or not? Unless they stopped you with a helicopter.
Or they're following you and they see a big stack of snow on top of your trailer.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. It's just so ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. It's just beyond sublime. I mean, it's just, I can't believe that they make me go through such hoops. It's like they don't want you to make it. It's like they want you to fail.
Well, yeah, and the new hours of service that changed this year, by the way. I take that back. Last year, I'm sorry. Last July, they in the advent of safety, they've actually made it more dangerous.
Yeah.
It used to be, you know, I used to hear that truckers were the knights of the road and they would stop and help people. Well, they can't because of the hours of service rules now that are so strict, and now they've mandated electronic recording devices that. You used to be able to fudge your books a little bit, like 15 minutes, and they don't care. So in other words, if you're at the end of your time and you're 5 minutes away from your destination, you can take that 5 minutes, no big deal. They allow you that variance. But now with electronics one, as soon as it strikes, the clock strikes 12, you're done. There is no variance. You're in violation of hours of service. And the two rules that they made, now one I kind of agree with, but the other one, I don't. The first one is that they mandated a 30-minute break within the first 8 hours of going on duty. Okay, that's great because that way, you know, that gives you the lunch break or whatever, and your company can't say, why are you not doing this, you know, because some of us have to do bodily functions every once in a while, being human.
Mm-hmm.
The downside of that, if you take that break too early, that resets your time, and if you have to take another 30-minute break within the 8-hour period. So that's a catch-22 there. The other thing is that to reset your clock, the old rules that you can only drive a total of no more than, I think, 70 hours per week, which is a lot of driving, but, you know, some people do, some people don't. To reset your clock, you have to take 34 hours off, which you had a choice of when you'd like to do it. You could work 2 days and decide to take 34 hours off, reset your clock. Great, you feel rested. And a lot of drivers like driving at night because there's less traffic, less congestion, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very common you start at 3 a.m. Well, the new regulations, you can only take that 34-hour restart provision once a week, not two, three times a week. You know, of course, you don't make any money if you take it two, three times a week, but once a week, and it must include two periods between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. If you start at 1:05, sorry, it doesn't meet the criteria, so now you have 48 hours off because you missed it by that 5 minutes. And so that's forcing people a couple things. One, everybody's now scrambling to find a place to park so they can take their 34 hours off, hoping and praying that where they're going there's actually room for them. This is also causing more of an urgency because, like I say, you may go to a truck stop, it's full.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you may, you know, whatever. I mean, as plan as you might, when I was over the road, I usually spent the last hour planning for a place to land. And sometimes you get there, the rest area is closed, under construction, not there anymore, and the map wasn't updated or for whatever reason. Then secondly, you're causing people to change their hours and, you know, starting at 5 a.m. instead of 3 a.m., which is adding more congestion. And the whole thing is just a mess, and it's all in the lieu of safety, figuring that most people sleep at night. Well, not everybody sleeps at night.
Obviously.
Yeah. So, anyway, 646-721-9887. Talk about this or anything else you'd like to talk about. Do you want Hillary Clinton to be your next president? Who do you want to be president? Do you want a president? Maybe we should ask that question.
Well, I think we need to have a president. I think we need to have somebody to blame. But we also need to have somebody who has some common sense, and the one we have is not him. Assist all of us to it. I really honestly don't believe he's fit to be president. I don't think he makes any of the decisions that are being made. His White House. His White House secretary, Carney, is stepping down. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
He is Jay Carney. He's ending early, and I think he might be doing that because, you know, after it gets too late, then it's harder to find another job. But he's been the spokesman for the White House or for the president anyway since 2011. Oh,
boy, I'd like to see his book.
But he's decided that he's going to be stepping down. He's going to be he describes President Obama as one of his closest friends, and so he's going to be a trusted advisor, but he's not going to be the reporter, the White House reporter anymore, doesn't say when he's actually doing it, but I get the impression it's going to be right away, so that he's got somebody else to. And Obama has chosen Joss Ernest. I don't know if that's Josh. A name that you recognize or not. I don't. To take the position of Carney's successor, put the flak jacket on.
That so they can come out and say that all his comments were earnest?
Ooh, bad. I'm not sure why Carney would step down right now. I mean, it's early. It's still because Obama's got a couple of years.
Unfortunately,
it's early. So I don't know if he's got another job to go to, or what he's going to do, or if he's got something in mind, or you know, possibly he's made enough money at this job. I don't know how much he gets paid, but I'm sure it's more than I do, and perhaps he's made enough money at this job to not need to work for a couple of years or something like that. I don't know.
No, he'll just have a book and speaking engagements and.
Well, you know, that's true too. I really get upset at that, because all these people are capable of going out and doing speaking engagements, and they make a huge amount of money doing that, and. I'm not sure I believe what they have to say. So,
I'm available. Just send me $200,000 and I'll come speak for a half hour.
Hey, send me $200,000 and I'll come and speak for days. So I mean, that's ridiculous to me. I don't know. But he's got a position that he can do that, like you say. Almost anybody who's ever worked for the president or around the president or with the president can do that, can take these speaking engagements and make these huge amounts of money doing the speaking. And I don't know who I would be curious to find out if there was some sort of a publication that lets you know who goes to watch him, who goes to listen to him. Is it people who are interested in just what kind of ridiculous things he has to say, or is it somebody who actually believes what he has to say? And if so, I'm really concerned, because our country, I think, is going to the carnies.
Well, and, you know, that's where the press group, whatever you call it, goes to ask questions, and he's supposed to translate the president's opinion, so to speak. And I think I'm looking, scanning the article, I think he makes $172,000 a year.
Well, he makes good money there, I know. $172,000 a year for working in that kind of position. I wouldn't do it for that, because can you imagine having the entire press corps down your throat constantly yelling at you and harping at you, and you have to answer the questions?
You're assuming that's what they do. I mean, if you listen to the news and what they're not asking anymore, it doesn't seem like. I mean, the old thing where you picture a room full of people going, Mr. Carney, what about this policy? And I don't know.
They still do that.
Yeah.
They still do that with him up there. And he has things a little more under control than that. He's not all yelling, but they all have their hands up, and they're all trying to get his attention. And supposedly he stands there long enough to choose, let's put it that way, better words.
I like this comment in the chat room, by the way. And by the way, folks, the chat room is open if you'd like to join us there and see what's going on. Flycatch is saying that Carney left because his nose keeps growing.
Okay. Well, that's what I was sort of getting at. I don't know if he – see, that's the thing. You don't know whether what the information you're being given is legitimate or not, because right. – Let's face it, it's coming from the White House. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, we really need to get the White House under control. And I don't think we're going to do it with Hillary Clinton.
I think what we need to do is that we need to hire Stephen King as the White House press secretary, because then at least he'll come up with some better stories.
Okay. That's interesting, a way to put it. I don't know. I just really feel that we really need to get the whole information thing under control, and we haven't at this particular point. And I don't know how we can, to be honest with you.
Well, we can start by insisting that when the president comes up and speaks, that he stays and takes questions. How often really has he come out and said, you know, he gives a speech and then, you know, the press corps is, Mr. President, he turns around and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how often has he actually stopped and answered questions?
Well, more often than you think, more often than other presidents, to be honest with you. But, I mean, I don't care how often he stands and answers questions. I don't believe what he has to say. That's the point. I just don't believe what he has to say. He makes it up, I think, as he goes along, the president. Now, Jay Carney, I don't believe, has the privilege of doing that. I imagine he does it a little bit, but he really has to try to give the information that the president gives him. And so he's very, very limited. I don't know. The thing is, he's been the spokesman since 2011. That isn't that long. I mean, obviously they go through White House press people very fast.
Yes. And as Flycatch is reminding us, is that Jay Carney was one of the authorities that released the names of the CIA official in Afghanistan, which was one of their mistakes. And nobody probably would have noticed it until they came out and said, oops, and then they're backpedaling, which, know, that oops, I think, is what actually brought it to everybody's attention.
I didn't know. That's an interesting story.
Yeah. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember reading the story about that.
Well, that's interesting. I find that it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how long this new guy lasts, as to if he leaves when the new president takes over, even if it is Hillary Clinton. But I don't really think that Hillary – I really honestly can't see Hillary running. She has been too adamant about not running before. And taking a look at what she looks like, I can't see it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The poor lady is, I think, deserves a rest in more ways than one.
Well, like I said, it's going to be very interesting. Maybe Jay Carney's going to run for president.
Oh, well, I was going to dismiss that arbitrarily, but actually I'm not going to, because he might. I mean, he has the recognition factor, that's for sure. People know who Jay Carney is. Of course, I've watched one of these late-night shows do all these questions, and most of the people in the United States don't even know who the president is, or the vice president, or almost anybody. These people just don't care. I'm back on that again. I it's really sad, but so many people don't know what's going on and don't care.
No. Too many people that I talk to don't want to get into politics. Looking at the Oregon numbers in our latest primary, very small turnout, and the ones that did actually make the numbers were the incumbents. And because people don't want it, they don't want to hear about it, they don't care, and that's like I've said many times, Obamacare is one of the few things that's actually going to be in your face. You can't ignore it. You know, you don't want to play politics, fine. Well, you're going to have to, and this is just the flexing of the government about how little control we have over it.
Well, it's kind of sad, too, because here we are at an era in our life with the Internet and everything where it's so easy. It's easier than ever to get information about anyone you want to, any of these people that are running for any kind of an office that you want to, and people don't bother. They just they recognize the name from the incumbent, and that's what they vote for. And even, man, you, as an incumbent, you almost have to shoot someone to get enough bad press to...
I totally disagree. All you have to do is have an affair.
No. That's only if you're president. I mean, if you're up in that lofty position, it's two or three positions up there. I don't think that people really even know whether our local people are having an affair or not.
Yeah.
Now, that it's true that if they're right in the local position, in other words, if you've got somebody from Eugene that's running for something and he has an affair, then they might notice that. But if for anybody else that's voting for him, they wouldn't. I really think it's name recognition. That's the sad part about it. And it's so easy to look up the information, and name recognition shouldn't be the only thing. It should list a I'm not sure if I still have it on our website or not. I'll check and see. But I had on there a list of whoever was being voted in for whatever office, so that you could go to the website and look up whatever you want. In other words, who was running for what. And then you can get the information separately. We didn't put it on there. But get the information on the Internet about that person. But nobody looks. Nobody cares. They just, if they don't recognize the name, and that's the sad part. Again, as I say, so many times I see on these television shows, they don't recognize the name. They don't. You put it in front of them, and they don't recognize the picture. And
so it's just both the party. By the way, Flycast just reminded me of one of the things that are on our hit list that I did want to touch on before we ran out of time, with 34 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. Michelle Obama and her school lunch program, I guess, is finally getting some flack because, first of all, it's just ridiculous anyways that, for example, where this one school went through a sack lunch that this child's mother provided and decided that it wasn't nutritious enough, so they took the lunch away and gave him chicken nuggets. Well, apparently that more and more people are trying to figure out, Michelle, you're not even qualified. What's your qualifications to come and tell us how to feed our kids?
Well, she doesn't have to be qualified. She's in the news.
No, she happens to be married to,
someone in the news. Well, but she's in the news.
Yeah.
She's in the news, and she, see, if you carry a notebook, or a book of any kind, and walk around and act important, presto, you get anything you want.
Yeah. This is from the Washington Post. In Georgia, kids resist the loss of their beloved fried chicken. In New Mexico, the whole wheat tortillas went straight to the trash can. In Tennessee, after schools replaced fairly flaky white biscuits with whole grain variety, one official reported a severe amount of rejection.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. When are they going to get smart and make it as good for you as possible, but make it something the kids will eat?
Right.
It'd be nice to have them actually eating what you made for them.
Well, some of it, like I say, is, I mean, I can understand at some point, but, you know, they even tried limiting the size of the portions and everything to reduce obesity. But here's the thing. We had, when you and I were growing up, there's candy bars at like 5 cents a candy bar, and they were huge. We didn't have an obese problem, per se. But I think that the sizes of it are so small that you're not really getting a nutritional value, and so you're eating more of it than what you did before.
Well, I don't know. The thing is, I will have to say, come to think of it, of course, I was one of the people that was obese when I was growing up. I've been that way all my life. I mean, I'm not huge or anything like that, but I am definitely what the officials would call obese, overweight. But I ate all that stuff when I was growing up, and I didn't get in too much trouble. And I had way more than I should have had, because I found I always got up and got a job myself. And if I earned money, I could spend it any way I want to. So consequently, I ate all the candy bars and such stuff.
Well, I'm glad to see that people are actually starting to stand up. In fact, we're seeing more and more people stand up against a lot of things that the federal government has mandated on us, because they feel that they know better than we do.
That's the thing. They seem to think if they're in a position of any kind of authority, that they know better than we do about everything.
Right. Exactly. Well, they don't. And like I said, what is Michelle Obama, other than the fact of she happens to be sitting in the White House at the moment, you know, her qualification to come out and say, Junior, you're eating chicken McNuggets. Excuse me. First of all, just look at the breading on it. That right there is not good for you. But I'm no expert, but I guess that makes me a qualified person to, to mandate that you can eat.
She's not even sitting in that office or in that position for her own reasons. She's only there by the fact that she was married to the guy who was doing something. And she's not sitting in the White House now. She's not there very often at all. And I'm hoping she doesn't end up being there permanently.
Exactly. One other thing I kind of want to touch on, and again, this is suggested by Flycatch, which again, thank you very much, is back in 2008 when President Obama got elected, one of the things that he came right out and said, that anybody wanting to go after to start a coal fire power plant will go bankrupt because of new regulations. He's going to see to that. And apparently he's still pushing to get rid of coal fire power plants because of the EPA. You know, he's using the EPA to kind of shut them down. But from what I understand, that coal-fired power plants, say that three times fast, is one of the major impacts of our power grid.
Yeah. Because, see, about the only place that has hydropower is us in the Northwest, because nobody else has that much water. And everybody else is either coal power or something that's going to be a lot more dangerous than our power.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, I mean, they have, as far as EPA and greenhouse gases and everything, they have scrubbers on them now, so they're not really putting out as much greenhouse gases as they used to, quote unquote.
Not as much as they used to, but still, it's way more than they should. Way more than should be tolerated.
Right. The same thing with them taking down dams to that produce power. So, you know, and all that does is that it just raises the cost of everything.
Yeah, I don't know how much power that's been lost by taking down dams. I haven't followed that, but I do know that in the Northwest we do have most of our power. See, the interesting thing is we still have a problem with we use power that's supplied by these people that are burning coal, because our electricity is being sent to other states. California specifically gets a huge amount of electricity from our power plants, or from our electricity making plants, because it's cheaper to send it. But they're not paying us enough to make it worth our time. It depends on how you decide what's worth your time. I mean, because they're not government operated. I mean, they are powered by various different people that are more than happy to collect the money that California is willing to spend. So consequently, it's making us use bad fuel,
right?
And not pass it along. I mean, if it was just us using the hydro plants, almost the entire Northwest up here could almost have no footprint at all. I mean, it would be real nice, but too many times the power goes to California or, for that matter, Mexico. They pay big bucks to get our power plants, to get our distribution. I'll get the word out.
I'm going through and trying to find the article from 2008. Regarding the coal-fired power plants, you know, he did warn back in 2008 that his policies would bankrupt anybody who started a coal power plant. And so they're saying now here he is once again working to carry out his threat to do that. And I'm scanning I'm doing notes as I'm talking here, so
yeah.
So bear with me. But as I'm going through here, it's still amazing that with everything going on in the country, what he's focusing on, you know, we got lots of stuff that needs to be worked on. And coal, you know, the coal fire plants, not, in my opinion, not exactly on the top. But apparently he had something against them from the get-go, and that's what he said in 2008.
Well, that's one of his promises, it's not good. Of course, one of his promises was keeping getting rid of all of the prisoners at Gitmo,
right.
And he hasn't done that. But this exchange of prisoners, we gave five of them from Gitmo, we gave away for one from whoever got we were getting them from. So that helped us a little. But it's just not happening. He's picking and choosing what promises he wants to keep and what he wants to do, and he doesn't necessarily pick and choose the right things. As far as
well, like here is that according to one article, they talked about that thwarted by Congress' inability to pass a bill to lower U.S. carbon emissions, President Obama is pushing forward his own approach. Here we go again. Last June, he asked the EPA to use its power under the Clean Air Act to craft rules limiting carbon dioxide emissions from existing power plants. The rule would go far beyond an EPA proposal last year to limit emissions from the new plants, and their impact would also exceed the administration's 2011 requirement that new cars and trucks double their fuel efficiency by 2025. So
yeah. Well, yeah, it's just you can't. That's back to what I was saying before. When Obama speaks, you don't know what he's saying, because what he's saying isn't really the truth. Sometimes it might verge a little bit on the truth, and other times it isn't even close. But that doesn't stop him from saying it. And I mean, speaking of that, if you can imagine, say you were press secretary,
uh-huh.
And for Obama, how would you decide what to say? I mean, even saying it once one way one week, it will change the next week. I mean, he'll decide one thing one day and something else another. So I don't blame Carney for deciding who's going to leave.
Yeah. By the way, they say that the closing the coal fire plants produce 1/5 of the U.S. energy. So.
No, I thought it would be more than that.
It might be. Like I said, I'm just scanning headlines here, trying to figure it out. 646-721-9887, by the way. 22 minutes remaining in the program for this. And anything else you'd like to talk about? As I'm still scanning.
Yeah, we do. We'll talk about anything you want to. There's lots of things that are in the news right now. Not as many as it used to be. I mean, it used to be always, well, I don't know. Maybe it's because just the stuff that's in the news is not as interesting to me as it used to be or something, but I don't find that it is.
It's become complacent. Thank you for the correction, Flycast. He says they produce 60% of our electricity. So
yeah, I thought it was a huge amount.
Well, in my 5 monitors as I'm scanning information. And I totally agree that it will increase the electric bill by about 300% at least.
Well, there's no need. Well, I guess there's. I'm sure they could come up with something that could take the place of the coal-fired things. But that's a huge amount of electricity that they have to replace. And I don't know if they can come up with something. I've had a couple of ideas that were my own ideas over the years. One, I think we should actually use the ocean. The ocean goes up and goes down every day, and it's very, very determinate, and it's very persistent, and it never changes, and it always does this, and we can always rely on it, and we aren't taking advantage of it. There are lots of ways we could put a big platform out on the ocean that rises and lowers and have it on a big fulcrum that gives you the huge amount of power at the other end that could run generators, that could run our... And we have a lot of oceanfront property because a lot of the oceanfront property that we could use for this wouldn't be something that could be used for a beach that people would miss.
Well, they actually have done wave generation, and the problem is EPA, fish life or aquatic life, and how much you can actually generate out of this. So there's a whole, it's just like using wind farms. They're limited. They're not as efficient as doing the methods that we...
They're just doing it wrong. I know they're doing it. They're doing it with these bobbing things that are in there that are bobbing up and down, which do get in people's way. But if it was a big platform that was out there, the big platform could be used on a beach that nobody could use the beach without that. And we could put a huge platform out there that would allow us to use the beach, and it wouldn't actually be using the beach. It wouldn't be messing up the beach because there wasn't a beach there. And a huge amount of power could be generated from this. And I have the whole thing in plan myself. And believe it or not, years ago, I actually sent a copy of what I'm talking about to the president, whatever president, I don't remember which one. It was a long time ago.
Yes.
But they didn't acknowledge me at all. And so it's their problem, and they know how to fix it. And I've showed them how to fix it, and it's about time they do it.
That's right. They should have listened to you. 646-721-9887, 18 minutes remaining in the program. I know how we can solve our energy problem right there with a huge source of natural gas.
Careful. True.
Yes, and it happens to be in D.C. lots of heat generated there, but anyway, we won't go there. But the whole thing is a joke. There's even a company, speaking of generation, that if it was cost effective, I could agree with it, where they're talking about putting solar cells in streets. But again,
that wouldn't work, because the streets are covered up by rubber several times. I mean, the rubber off of your tires really rubs off and covers the road. So I thought of that too. It wouldn't work to use your streets as solar cells. Solar cells are also very inefficient. A big generator is a lot more efficient than solar cells.
Nice.
They are getting more and more efficient as we go along, but we've got a long ways to go. So there are several other ways of doing it. One of the things I think we should do is we have huge, big generators of electricity or whatever at different places in the country. And we could actually put these little generating plants that run off of
No, we could actually go back to nuclear.
Oh, no.
You don't think nuclear would be?
Absolutely not. If they go back to nuclear, I'd get very upset, because you can't control it. You cannot control it. And if you can't control it, it can do too much damage. These little electrical plants that you could have in every city, and they'd be running, you could, I can't think of the word, they're little plants that you grow. And anyway, it's a system that would work very well, where each power plant is small. And if it did blow up for some reason or other, it wouldn't take very much. It wouldn't go off very far. And you could actually put it out in the field someplace where if it blew up, it would not even hurt your town or anything in your town. Of course, once they've got it out in the field, people would start building it for some reason.
What a lot of people don't realize is that there are a lot of universities that actually have a nuclear reactor in them. A lot of them are open pit reactors, and they don't really produce a lot of electricity, but they are nuclear reactors.
Yeah, I know. For a long time, we were pushing the nuclear power thing, and of course, the universities and things like that would be the first ones to take advantage of it. But in my opinion, I hope they stop. I hope they change it over to something different. There are other ways of doing it that are a lot cleaner and a lot. Well, see, that's the thing. Nuclear power is extremely clean until it's extremely dirty.
Right. By the way, here's the quote I was looking for 2008 from Obama's. Anyways, what I've said is that we would put a cap and trade system in place that is more, that is as aggressive, if not more aggressive, than anybody else's out there. So if somebody wants to build a coal-powered plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them, because they're going to be charged with a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that is being emitted. And that's the quote that I was looking for. Because he said right up there that you can go ahead and do it. We're just going to raise the bar so you can't do it. And it will bankrupt you. And that's what he's saying now in 2012, is that we are going to bankrupt the coal industry and do that on purpose.
No, it's just going to bankrupt the coal industry in the United States and make the United States suffer for it. because he can't do anything about what's happening in the rest of the world. He can make suggestions, and that's not going to go anywhere. And if it's going to cost the government of some country, and a lot of the countries in Europe and in Asia, the government is who is running these power plants, and it's not something they're going to give up. It would cost them too much money, and it doesn't make any difference how much money or how much Obama thinks he has the ability to affect them. He's not going to have that much. People are not going to do it.
He can bankrupt or make it almost impossible here in the States.
That's true. But see, that's the thing. He has these grandiose ideas that all come to screwing us.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And again, referring to the chat room by the here in Flycatch is going, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
Yes.
Which is how we got stuck with Obamacare because, you don't expect, really, the White House or the President of the United States to actually come out and try and sell you a lie, so to speak. Like he sold Obamacare. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. It will save you money, $2,500 a year or some figure. And what it actually did as he was complaining against Hillary Care, that it would give the insurance companies a monopoly. There are a lot of companies that have dropped, a lot of insurance companies that have dropped the insurance from businesses and stuff, making them scramble to comply with the law and therefore costing them at least three times as much in premiums for lesser care. So, but again, the government comes out and they do this propaganda stuff, and in the beginning, and people are starting to wake up a little bit more, I hope, bought it.
Well,
I still talk to people that were in favor of Obamacare, for example, and they said that, with all good intentions, they said, well, the reason why I was for it is because, if you wanted health care, everybody can have health care. What's wrong with having health care? Even Obama's saying that. Why is somebody arguing with me about having health care? Well, that's not the point. That is not the point, is that you force it down our throats by saying, A lot of Americans don't have health care. I'm going to pass laws so they have to have health care. Problem solved. People don't have health care because they can't afford it. And now you're making it, literally people are having to pay three times the amount. The deductible has been raised so high that it's almost like my insurance, for example. My insurance won't kick in until I reach $2,500. So why do I have health care?
You're lucky it still goes in.
What's that?
I say you're lucky it still does that.
Yeah, and
across the political spectrum, analysts have noted that 80 to 90% of employer provided insurance, is going to go away. It's not going to be there. It's been mainstay coverage for years and years. That's the way we've done it, and it's going to disappear because Obamacare is going to destroy it, and it's just not going to happen. And so, in fact, they're saying that the whole thing is going to be gone down. Less than 10% of the people who get insurance right now are going to get it in 10 years from now. So that's going to – where are the rest of us going to get insurance? I think it's probably not going to happen. Of course, I personally think Obamacare is going to go away.
Well, I would hope that just like in Oregon, a couple of people running for Senate, Monica Levy, for example, who's a pediatrician or something like that, surgeon, is saying that instead of getting rid of Obamacare, she'd like to, quote, fix it.
I think it's beyond fixing, beyond help. You'd have to rewrite the whole thing over again, I'm not prepared to let anybody rewrite it.
No, what you're going to have to do, in my opinion, number one, is get rid of the mandate. If you want, we are a rich enough country that if we really wanted to, we could provide, even if it's just subsidized insurance, but make it a choice. I have a choice of having car insurance if I decide to have a car, meaning that I have a choice of, if I don't want a car, I don't have to pay car insurance. But if I don't have a car, why should I be mandated to pay for car insurance? But here, everybody is required by law to have insurance, and unless you come under the poverty level, the federal poverty level, you are going to have to pay, I think in 2016, like 2.5 or 2.1% of your income or up, or $2,100, whichever is greater.
Well, see, that's what they're saying right now, that in this big change to buy insurance, nobody's going to pay for that. They're going to opt to take that $2,000 per worker, a fine, and pay that. It's a lot less than the cost of insurance, and so they're going to do that. I mean, $2,000, and even if everybody took the $2,000 thing, see, the problem is, I have the opinion that the health care was way too expensive in the first place. And so the health care would be more reasonably priced. But the point is, if we took that $2,000 per person per year and everybody took it, that's a lot of money.
Well, why do you think that you can go down, or when a hospital gives you an aspirin, why it costs like $2 per aspirin when you could buy the whole bottle for that?
Right.
It's just all the increase in medical costs. I mean, like, for example, here in Lane County, they put on a tax on hospitals. And federally, I believe they put a tax on medical devices. Well, who gets that money? All it does is increase the cost to the insurance companies and to the individuals.
I don't know. It becomes a thing where, as far as I'm concerned, it needs to go away because it's creating more trouble. I mean, to try to decide, because employers are going to do things in the least expensive way, and it's been one of the things that's happening right now is if it costs you employers $10,000-$15,000 to have insurance for their customer or for their employees, they're going to take that out of people's pay.
Right.
I mean, they're doing it now, but it's still. And if you're making $15,000 a year, that's it. You're gone. It's not going to happen.
Well, and that's the point. Is that in this economy, it takes at least two income families to kind of make the bills. And now you're having health care, especially if you're younger, having health care, you're just kind of hoping, you don't think of it because, I'm young, healthy, et cetera. Or you're just kind of barely making ends meet. So the last thing that you want to do is spend $300-$400 for health care. I couldn't afford it.
That's why the whole system has to change completely. I mean, it can't stay the way it is. It just can't stay the way it is. It's not going to work. Because people are going to take the least expensive way to do it, and the least expensive way to do it is pay the fine.
Right. And you still don't have health care.
Well, you do.
The thing is, that was Obama's argument in 2008 against Hillary Care, is using Massachusetts as an example, that people are going to find that they can't afford the health care, and they wind up paying the penalty and still not have health care.
And if you do have health care, because in the United States, they're not going to turn you away from a hospital.
No.
So somebody's paying for it.
Exactly.
So, that's the thing we need to change is if we're going to do this kind of thing, and if we're going to say, well, you won't be turned away from a hospital, then we're going to have to make it something that the government pays for.
Well, then that gets back to what I'm saying, is that instead of, number one, mandating that everybody has to have it, take a look at other countries that have health care, look at how it works, and look at what works, and look at what doesn't work, and design your system based on that. But by passing a law to mandate that everybody get it one way or another is ridiculous. This is, I said this one. The first came out is that you're going to stand back and watch. It's going to bankrupt America. In fact, even just starting out, entrepreneurs trying to start out a business, they're going to be faced with having to provide health care for themselves and their family, pay the penalty, And then if they have a business that's over, was it 49 people or 50 people, they'll be required by law to provide health care. Or what we see happening a lot in smaller businesses is that they're not providing health care anymore, and it's just saying, you know, you have to have health care, employees, you have to have health care by law. It doesn't matter where you get it, whether we're providing it or you get it on your own. And that's why I think it's ridiculous. We can do a lot better system. In fact, I was going to say that one person that I know, he's saying, yeah, the Obamacare has been really great for me. If it wasn't for Obamacare, I wouldn't have insurance. Well, he works part-time. He's got a family. His wife is, I forget what disease she's got, but, you know, some type of medical type of thing. She can't work. And so he qualifies already for Medicaid, Medicare, or those other services already. Obamacare has nothing to do with it. He already qualifies for all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's saying that thanks to Obamacare, I love it because it allows me to do this. No, it doesn't.
Well, what it's going to allow you to do is, like you say, it's going to bankrupt a lot of people. It's going to bankrupt, if not bankrupt, at least eliminate a lot of smaller companies, because a lot of companies are just closing up the door.
Right.
Because they can't pay for it.
And well, they said in the last couple of years, entrepreneurship is down. Our new startups are down more in this administration than they have been in history.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's getting too expensive to do it. And that's ridiculous, because it's our president that's making it too expensive.
Right.
And so, you know, he's doing everything to our own company, our own people. It's really sad. That's why hopefully we're going to get somebody in there with at least a different idea. And I don't believe that you can repair Obamacare or amend Obamacare.
You got to get rid of it. You got to start following the Constitution again. And unfortunately, thanks to the Obama administration, we're going to have to elect the traditional old white men or whatever, because we tried to be non-racist or whatever in the 21st century. We put somebody else different in there, and now it's just got thrown in our face as far as you can't even criticize them without being considered racist. And so I think that set things back generations.
And what do you think is going to happen if we put Hillary in there?
Things are going to be sexist. If you disagree with her, you're sexist.
Yep. Yep. So it's just going to have to stay the way we've had it for a while. We've just got to get everything straightened out and at least back to what passes for normal for a while.
Right.
To accomplish anything. We're in trouble at the moment.
Exactly. Again, thank you, everybody, for checking us out. Flycatch, good to see you back again. Don't be a stranger. And we'll be back again next Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Until then, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the Internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.